Porch Talk is made possible in part by a generous donation from Mary Washington Healthcare. When the unexpected happens and you need immediate access to medical services, the skilled healthcare team at the new Mary Washington Urgent Care is there for you. They provide care for minor illnesses and injuries that don't require ER visits, from flu to fever and from sprain to strain, all with the same care you'd expect from Mary Washington Healthcare. Now open in King George at 11131 Journal Parkway or visit urgent.mwhc.com.
Welcome to another edition of WWER's Porch Talk. My name is Tom Larson, and today we are on the front porch of Steve Swope. It's a beautiful location overlooking the Potomac River on Riverview Drive in Colonial Beach. Speaking of Steve, though, in my experience, there goes a golf cart for the local flavor. Is that one of your neighbors, Steve?
Yeah, down the street.
In my experience, though, almost no one refers to Steve by his given name. In Colonial Beach, he's Coach Swope. So let's start there, Steve. Just to jumpstart the conversation, can you talk a little bit about how you got into coaching? Maybe about your first paid coaching position, something like that?
Okay, well, I started my career here in Colonia Beach in 1979. So I always like to tell people that I've coached in 5 decades. I retired in 2013. But I came back from Virginia Tech, and never in my wildest dreams I think the Colonial Beach PE job and head baseball job would open up, but it did in the year I graduated. So I came back home and started my career here in town and absolutely built a love relationship with an entire community where I'm very blessed. I've taught and coached 10,000 drifters, which I call all my family here in town.
Yeah. So what sports did you coach?
I coached basketball, baseball, and football my first 3 years. My two loves were basketball and baseball, so I locked into them after the third year. And I had a 34-year career run here in town. Yeah. So that was it seems like it flew by, but it was filled with so many great memories and stories and wonderful accomplishments for this little community.
Yeah. But you were born here, weren't you?
I was actually born in D.C., but came to live here when I was 2 years old. So born and raised here in town, graduated the Drifter in 73, and went off to college and then came back. And I think the good Lord up above had a plan for me to come back and give back to my community. And I've loved every moment of the journey.
So technically you're a come here.
Technically, yes. From Washington, D.C. I actually wasn't born in the town of Colonial Beach, but lived here my whole life.
Yeah, and I'm just teasing. So in places further down the Northern Neck, I know that the whole come here, from here thing is pretty serious, and is one of the things that I love about this town is that it's not. And people don't really seem to care. I know you don't care. Really.
No.
But, I mean, apparently other parts of, as you get closer to the bay, that's kind of a thing.
We're very loyal here in this town. You have to understand that. You know, when you're a drifter, we kind of instill loyalty in you.
Right.
We're an underdog every day we wake up because we're the smallest school system around. We're the smallest town around. We're always an underdog. So, like, we have to build our strength through loyalty. So, like, when other people come to our town, we welcome them, especially when they want to wear that black and gold and be a part of being a drifter.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes in.
Yeah, I actually did that. Like, I wasn't sure kind of what the vibe was. And so sometime, like, in the winter, I put something out on one of the local Facebook groups and said, would it be disrespectful or respectful to go out and buy drifter's gear? Which I ended up doing, and the unanimous response, and this was a Facebook group of from here's basically,
mm-hmm.
and they're all like, nope, you want to be a drifter, go get a hat.
I think
and shirt.
I answered that question on your post. Yeah.
And a lot of other people said the same thing, so that was kind of cool. So,
without a doubt, you know, we're good, friendly people.
Yep.
You know, it's just like anything. You know, a lot of times we can always say, like, hey, we can talk bad about ourselves, but we don't let other people talk bad about ourselves.
Right.
So, we're good-hearted people.
Yep. So what was it like? So you grew up here in the 60s. You're a few years older than me. We're about the same age. But mm-hmm. what was it like here when you were a little kid? What are some of your early memories of the town?
My whole memory of my childhood was it was great. I wouldn't trade it for anyone's. I was raised by my grandmother here in town and built a strong relationship with all my neighbor backdoor buddies. With Rocky Denson being right behind where I live, we built a lifelong best friend relationship. Plenty of other guys in the neighborhood. In the 60s, it wasn't much to do in terms of, as a kid, so we got out on our bicycles and we played wiffle ball every day in somebody's backyard, or we played basketball until it was time to go to sleep at night. And that was basically the 60s. But Colonial Beach, let me go just refer a little bit about the Boardwalk. Definitely had a little bit more stuff to do back in those days.
Right.
That was so much fun as a kid to get on your bike and run up to a sundry store and get a 35-cent ice cream, sundae. Go to the Mayfair and go see a movie. Get a Coke and a box of popcorn for less than a dollar. We just had a great time living here.
So was the gambling still sort of hot and heavy when you were a kid?
It was. Yeah. River, the Reno and the Monte Carlo were still cranking. Of course, we had three other casinos in town before they got wiped out by the hurricanes. But the Boardwalk was just lively, just things up and down it just every day, every weekend.
So what's your perspective on that? Obviously, there was a downtime in between, right? Mm-hmm. Between then and now, and it's, to me, I've been here less than 5 years, but it feels like it's moving in the right direction. Do you have that sense, or is it just kind of stable?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do. There's certainly lots more things going on now every weekend, from Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's where I say you those 14, 15 weeks, we got to make everything happen within that time frame here in town, all the merchants and business owners and things, but I'm finding out that there's a new group of people in town that are really pushing great events and giving people things to do and giving people calls to come back, more than just once a month or something. Come down here every weekend and they fall in love with it and they buy a little summer home. But that's what's happening here.
Yeah, at some point someone else will run a porch talk discussion and maybe I'll get to tell my story, but that's basically my story too. We kind of stumbled in here one day in 2014, on the way back from a business trip and thought, wow, this is a cool little town. Mm-hmm. Came back, spent the weekend, bought a house,
So, that's kind of like the game plan for people.
And I've heard that story over and over and over again. There's something about the town that just draws people in, so it's very cool.
You know what they say about the sand out there, right? Once you get that sand between your toes, you don't ever leave. Mm-hmm. So I find that to be true.
Yeah.
It looks like it bit you too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned Rocky Denson, and I knew from previous conversations with both of you that you guys were childhood friends. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a couple of stories you can tell me. Someday I'll interview him and ask him the same thing.
Yeah.
So be careful, but
tell me a couple of stories, but I'm trying to protect him.
Okay. Well, it's payback time. Here we go.
When you're kids, you're kids, so you always do some crazy things when you're younger. As they always say, you always got some skeletons in your closet. But we've had some great times. It was fun growing up, being backdoor neighbors with him because his dad was the mayor of the town, Mr. Denson, mm-hmm. highly revered. And, we would run in and out of the store. And, the town was basically run back in the day by Mr. Denson, the mayor, and Chief Anderson, our chief of police. And then our lawyer, which was George F. Mason. And, when those three guys got together in the store, it was like an important issue that was coming up. And mm-hmm. They were going to decide it, and Rocky and I would eavesdrop a lot and try and fall over some boxes in the back of the store trying to listen to them. And, once we did and once we got caught, we were kind of reprimanded a little bit by Mr. Denson. Some of those things were classics. I remember there was one night I was spending the night over Rocky's house because he was either over my house one weekend and I was over his the next weekend. So we saw that trio hook up in his kitchen. So we went out his back bedroom window and went around to see if we could hear what was happening. And they were in the kitchen talking, so I was lifting Rocky up on his oil barrel so he could get a better shot at hearing what was happening. And he kind of got up there and he finally said, "Hey, I see Chief Anderson, I see George Jeff, but I don't see my dad." And about that time, I felt a hand go on my shoulder. And I looked real slowly to my left, and it was Mr. Denson who had come out the backside and caught us. And all I did was like flip Rocky off the oil tank and hop the fence, and I ran back to my house. And Rocky, of course, was grounded for 2 weeks.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. And the old Denson's grocery was on Bancroft?
Right there on Bancroft. Yeah, everything was right in that little local neighborhood where we all lived, and it was so cool in the 60s. Life was just so much simpler.
Yeah.
It really was than the high-tech world we live in today.
Yep, but here we are looking at our high-tech phones anyway.
Yeah.
You get sucked in, don't you?
Without a doubt. Yeah. We certainly do.
So talk about some of the players that have played for you over the years. 35 years, got to be a bunch.
Oh, God, but, I've been so blessed with great players. That's what, the first thing coaches will tell you is no matter how many wins they have, it just means like you had good players, or how successful your career was, it's because you had good players. And if you're fortunate enough to have a plan and put good players in position to win, then that's a win-win for the whole school and the program. But yeah, some of the players, I try to tell people I had a chance to, mentor and teach and coach Torrey Smith mm-hmm. when he was young. And he's going on to do great things and become an NFL star. I had a 7-foot kid who came into Colonial Beach and graduated with us as a transfer student late in his career. But Chris Johnson went from here to LSU, played in a NCAA Final Four championship game, and then went on to get drafted and play in the NBA with 4 different teams. So I've had an NFL and an NBA guy. I've got a kid that's right now that I coach is at NIU, Northern Illinois University out there, that's in his redshirt sophomore year. And next week, we're sitting by the phones to see if he gets drafted by MLB, Mr. Cameron Smith from Colonial Beach. So that would give us the trifecta of having the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB lottery here for my little small town. But other great kids, T.T. Carey and Dylan Farinette and the kids that took us to the state title in 09. Just, blessed with 1,000-point scorers in basketball. Guys who set career baseball records, all through their their tenure here in town. So, been touched a lot of people's lives with lots of good players that were a part of it.
Yeah, no doubt. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Torrey Smith for a couple of reasons. One, I know that you were sort of a mentor for him, but he ended up playing out of town. But tell us a little bit more about how that relationship played out, and then we'll maybe talk about his recent contribution to the community and how you were instrumental in that.
Yeah, Torrey was, he was born and raised here in town, lived up at Riverwood, and as a 5-year-old little kid, he would come across the parking lot with his grandma, and want to come into my camps and stuff, and just like all the kids in town. And I knew Torrey was very underprivileged, and his grandma would say, "We don't have the money to pay you now." And I'd just go, "Look, you know what? Hey, Torrey's going to have the everything that these other kids have too, an opportunity." So I used to put him in my camps, and he never forgot that. And he always alludes to that, even as an adult today in his Wikipedia beginnings, when you read about it. He throws a lot of good shine towards myself, but he, I've done that with lots of kids, not just Torrey, just lots of kids that were underprivileged and just, they deserve that opportunity like all kids have. But I try to give kids in this community, things to do. We had basketball camps, we had baseball camps, we had youth basketball in the wintertime. We had open gyms and summer leagues all summer to keep the gym open and keep kids moving and running. And off the streets and stuff. So that kind of circles back around with Torrey as an adult when he came down to Clearwater to visit me. And he got him to throw the first pitch at the Phillies game down there. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have Harper yet, so I'm not going to tease you about that.
Just so you know.
we'll get to that.
Wearing my Washington Nationals gear, coming to Steve Swope's house, knowing that he's a Phillies fan.
And knowing that we got Harper from you guys right now. And I try not to bust too many chops on that.
Yeah.
But Tory, you know, we got to talking down there, and I told him, I shared with him, like, you know, the town was, you know, excavating all this land and stuff, and I said, they really tore up the blacktop, and our kids really have no place to go shoot ball and hang out and stuff. And he was like, what? And he, like, did a video, and we kind of got together and said, like, look, let's put a plan together. Let's get a park for these kids. So that's when I went to work fundraising. He donated $185,000 of his. I think I've fundraised over $240,000 from this wonderful, generous community that's all behind kids and everything that's positive, and we put that in motion last summer.
Yeah, we're personally a part of that. I think we've had a break and made some other contributions and so forth. But I'm really thankful for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's good for the kids, and I know that was Tori's passion and your passion for sure. But the side effect of it was, you know, I'd heard your name ever since I've been here, but I didn't meet you until you kind of came out of the, you know, out of the woodwork and started driving this fundraising thing. And then, you know, for those who may not know, right, Steve was all over town talking to people, meeting people, doing the fundraising behind this new rec park that's just about done now in town. So just from a selfish standpoint, I got to meet you because of that effort, so...
Yeah, well, that's why I got a chance to meet a lot of great people like that, you including. It just shows you how if you dig down deep in this town, you'll really find that it's 99.99% great people.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be a few naysayers or anything, but my goodness, this town gets behind something that's mm-hmm. that's positive, and you that just makes you beam. With happiness.
Yeah, I mean, it's going that way, and this, you know, we're recording this discussion on the day that the new radio station is going to launch at midnight tonight, and it's just another example of that, right?
Fantastic.
But, you know, Ted Tate, who's the station manager, kind of put out a Facebook thing, said anybody interested in helping out and volunteering with this thing, he was flooded with you know. Help and as we've started rolling this thing out, people are just like, how can I help, and you know, can we become a sponsor? A lot of the business owners and nonprofits are like, hey, we want to be a sponsor of the station. We haven't done any formal fundraising yet because we haven't had to. It's been pretty cool. But anyway, yeah. I didn't want this to be a story about the radio station, but it is another example of what
Fantastic.
You're talking about this town.
I mean, yeah. That's just another example of how this town is growing with good things and good people.
So what's the update on the rec park? As long as we're talking about it, the shelter is there, it's built, doesn't yet have a full roof on it, mm-hmm. the blacktop is there but not painted. So just what's the schedule for
Great.
Sort of
it's
wrapping it up?
Good opportunity to get it out there. You know, sometimes I make some posts and sometimes we have to sit back on some things. But yeah, I mean, like... Our builder from last year, you know, got things going pretty much in November and December with some pads and things like that. And he knew he had to come back and try and close the park out pretty much in May. And then we've kind of run into a roadblock a little bit with the engineer and the builder a little bit. And so right now we're just working through some of those issues. I think some of the dirt's going to have to be corrected up there. It wasn't designed very well from the plans. From what I'm hearing, you know, I try and stay out of that stuff because that's not my bailiwick. I have a strength and other people have their strengths.
Right. But,
you know, the park's going to be done the correct way. We're at the 10-yard line.
Yep.
You know, we have all the courts poured, the pavilion's up, the playground is ordered. That should be in by the middle of June. The planning time of season is now. You know, we need to get our landscaping in order, the fencing, and then the paint the courts and put the standards up. So it's a matter of, you know, probably 3 weeks when we finally get everything resolved and get going again. And our goal right now is to still get this thing to the community by June 22nd, 29th type
right.
thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sort of conservatively by the 4th of July, yeah. you're fairly optimistic.
Definitely.
That's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, just curious to check in on it because I know everybody's excited about it.
Everybody's inquiring about it. And, of course, they all want to know. And, you know, in this day and time of, you know, instant gratification of information,
right.
they want to know yesterday.
Yeah.
So sometimes some things have to just shake out on its own. You know, anytime you're dealing with government land and government procedures,
right?
Some things don't move as quickly as you want them to.
Ah, okay. So good. Well, it's exciting to see what's already been done. I mean, it's clearly, like you say, at the 10-yard line.
It's going to be a great grand opening, I promise you that. Tori's going to be here. We're going to have music, food trucks, just a big special day for the community.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to riding down there and seeing kids playing.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing adults in this town that haven't played tennis ever in this town playing tennis.
Yep.
And, you know, people walking around the park and using the playground and just having a great, just a community spot right there. Centrally located in town for everybody to use.
See, I feel like I've had a pretty good year of sort of good fortune. Like this year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to figure out what the baseball schedule is at Colonial Beach High School. I keep saying I want to do it, and I never saw it online anywhere. I finally got proactive. I'm going to find the schedule. I'm going to go to some games. And I started going to some games this year. And lo and behold, they make a deep run into the playoffs. Right?
Yeah.
You want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, how cool is that? You know, we drifters in town support drifters everywhere. You know, throughout my whole entire tenure, the town came to all the basketball games, all the baseball games, all the football games, because it was a thing to do in town. And so, you know, and this year is no different. You know, once our team got hot, they struggled a little bit in the beginning of the year. They caught fire at the right time. They got a couple good, really good pitchers. And that's how you get carried in the sport of baseball. So they're hot right now,
right.
Carried by the pitchers. And so it's just fun. It's like, you know, it's baseball fever, and you just catch it. And then it gets you. So, you know, you can't really miss a game.
Yeah, it was something. So I saw that first playoff game that was here in town and watched Mason go down, you know, 0-4 in the first inning. Mason.
Yeah, against Rappahannock.
Yeah, what's his last name?
Delane. Yes.
And he settled in and didn't give up a run for the rest of the game.
They sure did.
And they came back and won the game 6-4. That was super cool. And then a couple of games later, we had a perfect game pitched by...
Yeah.
Who was the other boy?
The Trey Petras kid.
Yeah.
He threw a perfect game at Windsor.
Yeah.
Come back home from that, and Mason gets the pill again.
Yeah.
Delivers a 1-0 shutout victory where he singles in the bottom of the seventh and scores the game-winning runs. I mean, that's just that's typical of like your stud carrying a baseball team.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Mason's going to VCU. So
right.
That's a feather in his cap and our caps for that's D1 baseball he's going off to make us all proud.
Yeah, I'm really getting excited about the different ways that the radio station and the town and so forth can support the schools. I'm a member of the Colonial Yacht Club and helped out with the sort of the scholarship interviews this year. So just as a coincidence, Mason came in and sat with us and we spoke to him about, you know, his goals and his dreams. And this is before I saw that first baseball game. I was like, oh, there's Mason. You know?
Yeah.
So I met him, super nice kid.
Yeah.
Heading off to VCU. I think he's got...
Nice looking athlete, big kid.
Yeah, he's tall, man.
Yeah,
he's tall.
VCU's going to... Yeah. They'll put some muscle on him and get his mile per hour up. And
yeah.
Who knows, you know? Hopefully Mason gets to go to that next level.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah.
You're going to get your chance to talk some smack if you want to. I asked you this question privately one time, but anybody who knows Steve at all knows that he supports Philadelphia sports teams. And the question that I have is, born in D.C., lived your whole life in Colonial Beach, how did that happen?
And come from a family of nothing but Redskin people and nothing but Washingtonians. And
do you remember the moment when he...
I do.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, it alludes back to the 1960s where there's not a lot to do. So as a kid, I would lay in bed at night and listen to AM radio and try and turn it all over the dial, listen to as many baseball games as I could. And I fell in love with Philadelphia Phillies baseball announcers, by some, Richie Ashburn, Andy Musser on at night. There was just nothing to do. You know, you're laying there. We didn't have AC in the house. Had a fan blowing on me. I'm listening to, trying to hear as many home runs as I can hear at night from a wealth of great players in the 60s like Hank Aaron and Killebrew and Frank Robinson and Willie Mays and all that. That was a great era of baseball as a kid to grow up with. And that's when I collected all my baseball cards and things. But anyway, you know, I fell in love with the Phillies in 64. I've been a Philly fan, a diehard Philly fan my whole entire life that goes with the Sixers, the Flyers, the Eagles, everything. So I used to get it from my family. I get it from all the town people. I get it from all the kids that I taught and coached. It made for a great relationship to build with people, to tease and talk smack, like you said. And finally, after 58 years of my life, I finally got that one football championship that had eluded me forever.
And your former player,
yes,
Torrey Smith, was on the team.
That's divine intervention. You know that.
Yep.
For that to have lined up that one year where Torrey came to Philly and got that for me in my life.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Well, this has been great. It's been an honor and a pleasure chatting with you here today.
Without a doubt, Tom.
Thanks for inviting me to your porch.
Yes.
And this has been WWER's Porch Talk. Thanks for listening.